when Bob Pezzohosky was sharing, something jumped out at me that was a phrase he used, evangelism linebacker. Is that the phrase that it was? I thought, wow, there's a fierce combination. In my mind, I pictured Jack Lambert sharing the gospel, you know. I think I'm going to believe in the Lord. That's right. Very good. Vicki's song hit one of the names that God's Word calls us when we receive Christ and trust Him, and child of God is one phrase that we are called. We're called a number of really great things because God loves us and Christ has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His Son. So we be called a child of God through God's grace, a friend of God, a servant of Christ, and a slave of God. All those things we could be called because of Christ bringing us salvation. And so in this passage that Paul writes, he sets up a huge contrast. He says, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. You can't get any more contrasting than that. And there's really no room to sit on the fence. There's no in-between ground. There's no, you know, going in the middle and like coasting in between two servant opportunities, either a servant to sin or a servant to God. And Joshua in the Bible said at one time, he said, choose this day who you will serve. And he could have said about the life of the believer, choose this moment who you will serve, sin or God. And you and I, every second of our life, even as believers, we're either serving sin or we're serving God. And so I think it's good for us to look at the results of both of those acts of service which we've experienced as people and see what a tremendous difference it is to serve Christ, the gift of God, eternal life through Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, death. So you have slaves to sin. Not a good thing. The worst we can think of, death. The gift of God, the best we can think of, life forever with Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm going to use the screen behind me a bit and talk about the contrast. Before I do, I wanted to ask you to use your imagination as if you had a dream. And let's say sometimes people have bad dreams all the time. Let's say you had a dream where you went to a funeral home. And a very sad time, and people were mourning. And in the funeral home, there was all your relatives, all your loved ones that you ever knew. They were in the funeral home, and they were laid to rest, as it were. And not only that, all your friends that you knew, your support system, they were also in caskets in the funeral home. And you're thinking, man, what a nightmare this is. And then you went to another room in a funeral home, and then you're laying there. You see yourself dead in the casket. And not only that, you go to a third area and you see Jesus Himself lying there with no life whatsoever. Certainly no life that impacts you. You would say that's about the worst I can think of. Well, the Bible tells us that when we sin against God, something like that bad dream happens to our soul. People around us don't make the impact on our lives that they are meant to have because we're kind of treating them as dead. The wages of our sin is death. Our relationship with ourself seems without life. And our relationship with Christ seems like there's no life in it. Terrible, terrible experience that sin brings in our life. And God wants us to know how bad it is. One old-time preacher said, we have to come to grips with the exceeding sinfulness of sin so that we look at it for what it is and see Christ as the Redeemer from all that. And you and I need that. On Wednesday night, we did a little word association. We put the word death on the board and we put the word life on the board. And we had people say what came to their mind when they heard of those two areas. And just to go over with you some of the things that were shared and some additional things. When we sin, the wages of sin is death. This is what happens to our soul. First of all, we feel there's a separation. We don't feel right with God. We don't feel right with others. It's like a wall up. I can't get through to people when there's sin in my life. My own life is mixed up. My soul's headed in one direction, maybe my mind in another, my body in another. There's a separation that happens. There's pain and loss. That happens when we observe a physical death. It happens when we sin against God. Our body is jolted. And we experience, you know, something that was precious is not there in that time of sin. Also, there's a loneliness, a situation of isolation. One of the number one felt needs that people have is being lonely. And I think it's because the world is broken. That's one thing. Every time you're lonely, it's not because you have sin. But I find when people do sin, and when I sin, I feel pretty lonely. Who can I go to? Who's going to understand? Who's going to give me the help I need? And hopefully at that point we turn to Christ. Sin also involves ugliness, because when we sin, we deface the image of God in ourselves or in another person. I've never met an ugly person in my life, but I have met people who do ugly things. And I'm sure, you know the difference. And often you and I do ugly things when we sin against God. The ugly things I see most often in creation are involved again in the brokenness and death of the world. Simple things like roadkill. When there's roadkill on the road, I start swerving away from it. I tell my family, don't look. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to touch in my car. I don't want anything to do with it. You know, because it's not right. There's something not right about it. Sin is like that. Stay away from it. Something not right about it. Nothing good about it. Nothing attractive. Might look attractive for a while. I was going to save this for another day, but I'll share it now. There was a movie that I wouldn't recommend where this guy, Jack Nicholson, is a famous actor. He's in this film, and he's confused. And one part of the film, unfortunately, he sees a gal, and the gal doesn't have any clothes on, you know. So I'm thinking, what am I watching this for? But there it is. And he's happy, and he goes and gives her a kiss. This looks beautiful. You know, she looks beautiful. She doesn't have it. And while he kisses her, she turns into somebody who had been dead for hundreds of years. And of course he goes, whoa, and he runs away. Isn't that how sin impacts our soul? We think, this is going to be something. And then soon thereafter, we're like, totally sick about what happened. And then, of course, there's tears, loss. God grieves. We grieve. Someone mentioned on Wednesday there's a finality to death, or even a situation of broken fellowship with God. Not in terms of never knowing God's goodness, but the door is closed. We close the door on God, on others, and on opportunities to serve. Isolation often happens too when we sin and there's the wages of sin. That's why fellowship is so important for a Christian. You know, if you're isolated, unless you need some solitude time, you're not going to be functioning the way the Lord wants you to. Fear and anxiety. When someone dies, if it feels like there's a terrible thing in the pit of your stomach, a lot of times you feel you're haunted by what happened. And we're often haunted by our sense of guilt. Unrest. There's a tossing in our soul. Ironically, when we sin, and one of the results of our sin, one of the symptoms of it, is, believe it or not, self-righteousness. We sense we're not right with God or others, but I got to cover that up. So I start to pump myself up. But I know the Bible. But I pray a lot. But I'm in church, you know. Whatever the case may be, bad result of sin. And then, of course, the same type of thing, self-condemnation. I'm ashamed of who I am. And God didn't come to condemn us. He came to set us free. And then finally, wages of sin, eternity without God. It's real. It's terrible. You wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. And Christ does everything possible for us, you and I, and all our loved ones and friends and the whole world to not be in hell. Hell was mentioned in the Gospels by Jesus 14 times. Pretty incredible. So when we see the wages of sin, we would say, it is bad. Lord, bring conviction in my life. So when I see I'm moving away from you, someone said, sin is willfully leaving God or mindlessly straying from Him. Don't willfully leave God or mindlessly stray from Him. I think that's more a symptom of what we have. Let His life take over. Tozer said, once we realize the wages of sin, we cry out. This is what we cry out. All life must come from Christ, because there's none on this side of the page. All life must come from Christ for you and I. How about the gift of God? Eternal life. This happens when we say, I'll be a servant of Christ and a child of God and a friend of God. There's togetherness. Pretty soon you feel, hey, God is for me. And I feel connected to other people. I feel a kinship. You know, I see the value in people. A real togetherness brings. There's restoration and energy. It feels like Christ rose from the dead to your soul. It's a reliving of the resurrection day. Oh, life. Life that God would give. Instead of loneliness, there's friendships with God, with others. Instead of ugliness, there's beauty. You know, in the Bible, holiness and righteousness is called beautiful. Think of the really beautiful people in your life. It's really not the ones who, you know, got my nice tie on, or I went to the barber, so she looks extra beautiful. She went to get a new hairdo. It's really the person who has the qualities from God in their soul. The beauty of Christ in people. There's joy instead of tears. Jesus first and others and yourself. There's open door to serve. Instead of isolation, you're present to God's presence. I like that phrase. Eugene Peterson wrote it. And it ties in with Bible school when children say, I'm gonna go see what God is going to do today. And every moment you can have a journal. But often we pick the highlights. Love. Instead of fear and anxiety, perfect love casts out the others. Did you know love in the Bible? I mentioned hell was mentioned 14 times. Love in the Bible is mentioned 46 times in the Gospels. Hell 14 times in the Gospels. Love 46 times in the Gospel. The major quality of who God is, at least according to the Gospels and the New Testament, we would have to say. Never get tired of God's love. When we get angry and frustrated in our soul, you know what happens? We get tired of God's love. We might even say this. That's all we talk about is God's love. That stinks. Don't underestimate God's love. It is the major quality of who He is. It is why He reached out to you and I through His Son. Instead of unrest, we have peace, grace, the truth of God that sets our heart at peace. Instead of self-righteousness, mercy on ourselves, mercy on the other guy. Instead of self-condemnation, forgiveness. Instead of hell, the gift of God, heaven, eternal life, through Christ our Lord, that we would put our trust in Him. Mentioned hell was mentioned 14 times again in the Gospels. Heaven is mentioned in the Gospels 135 times. Heaven trumps hell by about 10 times in the preaching of Jesus. How wonderful that is. I think somebody's going to teach on heaven in the fall. But that's being a servant of God, what He could produce in us with His life or a servant of sin. It's a moment-by-moment decision. And when we see the ugliness of sin, the beauty of serving Christ, we can say, oh, Lord, by your grace, keep me close to you. Bring conviction when I don't love you or love people. Bring conviction when I don't pray or want to live sacrificially like the young people heard on their trip. All the things God would do. I saw life lived out spiritually by Peg Anna Reiner this past week. She had a stroke a couple of months ago. Physically, she is really down. They're not sure she's going to make it. She gets kidney dialysis, and she can't breathe without assistance. She cannot speak, and she cannot keep food down. But if you were to go see her, and she would get to know you a little bit, this is what she did with her family and with people who came into her room this week. She couldn't talk, so she did this. I didn't know what that was. I thought she was telling me to go out or something. But that's I love you sign. She did that about five times to different people in a course of about 15 minutes. No, not just in a real alert way. And then with brightness in her eyes. And she was able to smile in spite of the physical disabilities. She had life in her just coming out all over the place. And she was able to argue and spar a bit with her husband. When he would say something she didn't like, she would go like this. And when it was time to pray, she said, she went this, she went this, and she went, pray for me. The life that overcomes and the results of the fall that God would bring. And he does it mercifully. We don't always see him do it perfectly in terms of our perception, but he does it for us. Somebody said this about life. A life lived for Christ, being a servant of God, is remarkably healthy. Its joys are genuine. Its humility is profound. Its power is formidable. Its love is embracing. Its simplicity is that of a trusting child. And when your eye is single on Christ, your whole body is full of light. Lloyd Ogilvie, the Senate chaplain, said this, when you follow God, pretty soon his love begins to impact and supersede all responses in your relationships. So whenever you're dealing with whoever, one of the things that's going to come across is that you love that person in some manner. And that, boom, the power of God. And so remember Joshua. He said, choose this moment who you will serve. Don't be a slave to sin. Christians could be slaves to sin. It's very sad. Or you could be a servant of Christ and say, God, give me the life that is in Jesus. Let's pray and ask him for this. Lord, we've experienced life with you, and we want to do so in increasing measure, and also by the way we live, think, what we say and decide. Often, Lord, our minds and our words, they produce more death than life. And this is a sadness that we feel in our own soul. But we pray you would bring life to us as your children. Might we have the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand as we sing verses 1 and 4 of Take the Name of Jesus with You?